as we are in the Advent season, preparation for the second coming of Christ. We do scriptures that are Advent scriptures. This morning, scripture comes to us from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 5. If you're using the Pew Bible, it's on page 795. Isaiah, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 5. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the covenant-keeping God shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the covenant-keeping God. His delight is in the fear of the covenant-keeping God, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide the equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips. He shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. We ask the Lord's blessings upon reading of his holy word. Here we go. I'm going to reread it to you. And read it with how this is the English translation from, this is from what I just read to you from the New King James. I'm going to read it to you a little more literal sound translation of what the word is really saying here. Thou shalt come forth a rod from the stump of Jesse, and a green-colored branch shall be fruitful from his roots. The Holy Spirit of the covenant-keeping God shall rest upon him, the Holy Spirit of God's wisdom and God's understanding, the Holy Spirit of God's counsel, and the might and the knowledge and the knowing of the God, of the fear which is the exceeding reverence of the Lord. As a matter of fact, his enjoyment will be in the exceeding reverence of the covenant-keeping God. He shall not litigate by the side of his eyes. He shall not convict or justify by the hearing of his ears. But with the right relationship with God, he shall judge the poor and decide by making a level playing ground for the meek of the earth. He shall violently strike the earth with his scepter, his rod of power, of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips. He shall slay the morally wrong. The right relationship with God shall be the belt of his loins, and God's character and action the belt of his great waist. Again, we ask the Lord's blessing upon the reading of his holy word. You have a situation here where the prophet Isaiah is prophesying the coming of the Messiah. And that's what he's talking about here, the coming of the Messiah. He starts it out, he talks about coming with the stump of Jesse. And to get that imagery in our minds, that's what we need to get an imagery of this stump. In other words, the kingdom of David, David's kingship, David's divinity, the promise that was to David is pretty much over with. As a matter of fact, when Jesus came, if you'll know, if you remember this, when Jesus came, it was about 600 years after the last official Davidic king. Then it means the family had played out. They were still there. When Jesus was born, both Mary and Joseph came from different lines of David's family. They both came from two different ones of his sons. And of course, we know that Mary is the only one that really counts there. But from that standpoint, the line of David had been, but it had been 600 years before there had been any authority, any power, anything like that, dealing with the house of David. And therefore, what you have there in that imagery is a stump, this dead stump that is just sitting there. Now think about that. All of us, we know we've seen stumps. We have maybe we've had some in our yard. Maybe we've been going walking in the woods or whatever. If you're like me, you've tripped over plenty of them. Sometimes you've gone out and you've stepped in a hole where a stump was, you know, and it's disintegrated there. It's totally and completely decayed. You step in the doggone thing. But it's just a few of the trees that are out there. For the most time, when you cut a tree down, all that is left is a stump. The tree is dead. Now, there's some hollies that if you're not careful, they'll just completely reproduce, and crepe myrtles will come out and they'll just spread out and go everywhere. But for the most part, a stump, it is dead. And this is what the promise of Isaiah and the prophecy of Isaiah is all about, is that where it is dead, where there is death, where there's total death, where there is complete death, there's going to be life. That's why it's so important when we translate that green blade of life that comes out, that leaf that comes out, what he's saying there, that green, there's going to be life. And what's interesting too is that when he talks about he didn't say the stump of David, does he? He says the stump of Jesse. Jesse was never a king. The promise was not for Jesse. He's going all the way back. Going all the way back. The new son of David, the one David talks about in Psalms where he says, I sat there and I saw where my Lord said to my Lord, come and sit at my right hand until I make the earth your footstool. He goes back to the kingship itself. And the Messiah, when he comes, it says that the Holy Spirit of God is going to rest on him. Now think about that. Think about that and think about it from the standpoint of the people of that day. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did not dwell with people. Now we as Christians, when we are baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part of our life. The Holy Spirit stays with us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. Now, a lot of times we don't pay the Holy Spirit a whole lot of attention. A lot of times we kind of lock him away in the room, give his peanut butter sandwiches and his milk, and call upon him when we want him, you know, when we really absolutely need something. But the fact is that for the Christian, the Holy Spirit is there with us. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus went down into the Jordan River, he went to be baptized. He didn't go to be baptized so he'd have his sins washed away. He went to be baptized so he could be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And that began the whole thing. The Holy Spirit stayed with Jesus. All the works that Jesus did, he did it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then that promise is that way to us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we can call upon the Holy Spirit anytime that we want to. We can rely upon the Holy Spirit. We can lean upon the Holy Spirit anytime that we want to. But the thing is, in Isaiah's day, in Jeremiah's day, in David's day, the Holy Spirit would come and go. It's only when some great thing had to be done, you know, like with the judges and the children of Israel being put upon. And the Spirit of God would come upon one of the judges, and he would lead one of the judges, and they would raise up the people, and they would go, and they would defend the people of God, and overcome the enemies of the people of God. But then once that work was done, the Holy Spirit departed. It didn't dwell. It didn't rest. It departed. But Isaiah says that the Holy Spirit is going to come, that the Holy Spirit is going to rest upon the Messiah. It's going to rest. It's going to stay. It's going to dwell. Something that he didn't even know himself. Something that he had never even experienced himself. But he says that the Holy Spirit is a permanence there. And he uses the word rest. Rest. You see, in the Old Testament, when we see the word rest, is not really talking about sitting down and putting your feet up, getting in your recliner. It talks about dwelling continuously with. Living continuously with. The word rest is used mostly by God. He's talking about the children of Israel. Remember, they're out in the wilderness. And of course, they send out the 12 spies. Remember the story there? They send out the 12 spies, and two of them come back. And they say, the land is ours. We can take it. The other 10 say, no, man. They got fortified cities. They've got giants. They've got this. They've got that. There's absolutely no way that we can handle this situation. They are more powerful than us. And what we're really saying is they're more powerful than their God. Caleb and Joshua didn't believe that. Caleb and Joshua said, man, it's ours. Let's go and take it. The Lord said, did he say they shall not enter my land? No. He said, they shall not enter my rest. Shall not enter the place of the promise. They shall not enter where I will be continuously with them. That's what he's saying. That's what Isaiah is saying here. That the Holy Spirit will come upon the Messiah. The Holy Spirit will come upon the Messiah, and it will rest upon him. It will dwell with him. It will continually be with him. Everything that he has, his wisdom, his knowledge, his counsel, his righteousness, will be based on the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life. We see that in the Gospels. We see it when Jesus comes, right? Especially the Gospel of John. Yes, the Gospel of John has more of it. Matthew, Mark, and Luke have it too. The Gospel of John has more of it, where he says, I and the Father are one. The words that I speak are my Father's words. The works that I do are my Father's works. That dwelling, the resting of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And in that, he will judge. If you ever read it in King James, you sit there and you wonder, because it doesn't really sound quite right. Does it? It doesn't really sound quite right to judge the poor and to judge the meek. Because if we remember anything at all about the prophets, one of the things that the prophets did, it didn't matter whether it's Isaiah, whether it's Jeremiah, whether it's Ezekiel, whether it's Micah. It doesn't matter which prophet it is. That one of the things that they always spoke against was the way that the rich people, the wealthy people, the rulers of the land treated the poor and treated the meek. There was always that there. And yet here it talks like, it sounds like this, that he's going to come with God's Spirit, that he is going to judge. But what he really means is that he's going to litigate, not against the poor, not against the meek, but litigate for them. That's why it's so powerful. We need to understand there where it says, it literally in the Greek says, he will level the plain. For the meek. You will have the righteousness of God, a right relationship with God. He's not going to listen to the words of people's mouths. He's not going to listen to what he hears in his ears. Going to look at the heart. He's going to work from his relationship with God the Father. He's going to make his judgments, his litigations, his corrections based on the truth of God, not the appearances of the world. And then it mentions the belt twice. You see, the thing is, in Jesus' day, and even there in Isaiah's day, the belt was the anchor of clothing. Everything relied upon the belt and the way the belt hung. Those of you who've done any type of construction work, you know, you have your tool belt, right? You put the tool belt on, you put your, have all your tools all around you right here. You got the spot in there where you can place your tape measure and all your screwdrivers and your pliers and your hammers and whatever tools that you're using that day, and you gird it around you and you got it all around you like that. And he says that with the Messiah, that his belt is going to be his relationship with the Heavenly Father. And that his belt was going to be God's nature and God's actions. We find ourselves here in the Advent season. And we're divided. Because all around us we have the lights going up, we have the Christmas trees, we have the Christmas decorations, you know. Hopefully we finally got past the whole month of Black Friday sales. It's amazing, you know, the 1st of November to start advertising the Black Friday sales. And now they're moving towards the Christmas sales and this and that and the other. And we think about the Christmas carols and the songs and the carols that we're singing. They're talking about the birth of Jesus. And it's a fantastic time of year. It's a beautiful time of year. It's always been my favorite time of year. But that's Christmas. And we're in Advent. In Advent, we look forward to his second coming. Not the baby in a manger, but the king on a white horse. Not the shepherds coming and the angels singing and the wise men coming from afar. But the resurrected and living Lord coming back. And bringing with him the fulfillment of his kingdom based on his relationship.